Hello, this is Leslie Garfield Tenzer, and this is Legal Tenzer, casual conversations on other legal topics. Today, we're talking about legal tech. My guest, author and lawyer Colin Levy, defines legal tech as a global movement aimed at making the legal industry suited for legal consumers. He's here today to explain what he means when we talk about legal tech and how it is and how it will change legal practice. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So I don't want to ever plug another podcast, but I'm a big listener to Above the Law. And I know that Joe Patrice on that podcast talks about legal tech all the time. And I don't know what he means when he says legal tech. I know what legal is and I know what technology is, but what does legal tech mean?
Sure. Yeah. So legal tech really is technologies that are used in the practice and business of law. So they are tools that can help lawyers do their jobs better, can help legal professionals do their jobs better, and also better align sort of the delivery of legal services with those wanting slash needing legal services. And I really see legal tech sort of as part of an ecosystem, because technology by itself is fine, but it really gets its most value and becomes the most powerful when it's actually used by people in the context of a process or a task. So, you know, the process, the people, and the tech all depend upon one another to work together, sort of in alignment and a collaborative capacity. And so technology really is a piece of that, but it's really part of a broader sort of set of factors.
So I'm glad that you talk about the human element, because I think so many lawyers are scared that they're going to be replaced by technology. And do you have any thoughts on that?
I have a lot of thoughts on that. I think that lawyers will not necessarily be replaced by technology. Technology is not really here to replace anyone. It is here to help you do your job better and help in some ways allow you to have to do less busy work and spend less time on things you don't want to be doing. That being said, if you are a lawyer who is still continuing to resist or avoid using technology, the likelihood is, yes, you will probably be replaced by a lawyer who uses technology going forward, simply because we live in an age where technology drives so much as what we do. And there's an increasingly common expectation that we all are going to be using technology in our daily lives, both personally as well as professionally. So I would say that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily be replaced by technology, but there are circumstances that potentially could open the door to that happening.
Like what?
Well, for example, if you're not using technology at all, I think certainly that you'll be replaced by someone who does. I think that if your job mainly consists, and I certainly hope it doesn't, of primarily administrative routine standardizable tasks, you know, creating the same set of documents every day or having to review or edit the same thing every single day, technology is more than capable of doing that right now and will be capable of doing far more than that going forward. So that also is a potential circumstance that would lead to replacement. But I don't really like to spend a whole lot of time focusing on replacement, because that's not really the purpose of technology. And that's not really its sort of, I think, how it should be valued or looked at. It really should be looked at as here to augment what you do and help you be better at your job, as opposed to coming after you in some way, trying to sort of take your job away from you.
So I understand that and appreciate your commitment to making lawyers understand how they can work within the framework. Can you talk a little bit about your book, The Legal Tech Ecosystem? What do you mean when you talk about the ecosystem?
Sure. When I talk about the ecosystem, I'm talking about tech working in conjunction with people, processes, and businesses that are all interdependent upon one another and really impact one another. So technology impacts how people work, people impact how processes work by using technology, processes are impacted by technology, and people and businesses ultimately are impacted by all of those things. So that's why I kind of frame it as an ecosystem. And the book is titled The Legal Tech Ecosystem and is designed to sort of illustrate that point in multiple ways by showing that, you know, legal tech is about more than just technology. And I do that in the book through a couple of ways. One is through simply talking about how technology really is a matter of people using technology rather than its mere existence. Two, I include quotes from people who actually have designed technology tools and or use them or both, to show that technology really is, as I said earlier, dependent upon people and really so intertwined with how people operate and work that you really want to ensure that if you're using technology, that it is technology that is aligned to how you want to be working and that it's helping you be better at your job and in working. And that starts with, frankly, not even looking at technology, but understanding how you work and how that way of working could be improved and what that improvement looks like. And once you have a clear idea of that, then and only then would I suggest you start looking at technology, because technology can't just solve every problem just by its mere existence or your buying of it. It really is best able to be applied when you understand thoroughly the problem it is you're trying to solve initially.
So if you were educating law students on what they should be learning in law school vis-a-vis legal tech, what would you tell them that they should focus on?
So that's a great question. I would say that I would focus on understanding the different types of technologies that exist in the practice of law, whether it's legal research tools, drafting tools, document automation tools, tools that can help you create workflows or manage matters. Those are things to focus on. I wouldn't necessarily suggest focusing on learning one specific tool for another, but more matter about learning the different types of tools that exist and how they can help you. And I would suggest learning about them, not just in isolation, but actually experiencing using them through sort of, you know, case studies, project work, that type of thing. Because I think people tend to learn best when they are applying what they're learning as they're learning, as opposed to just sort of being taught something in isolation and then realizing later on why they learned it, as opposed to understanding that or realizing that right as they're learning it. You know, I think I look back upon when I was learning math, for example, in high school, I found it kind of boring and I didn't understand why I was having to learn it, because there was no context for it. It was just, you know, here, you take this class, you learn these things and you move on. And only when I took economics did I learn, okay, this is why you learn about certain things in math. It's because this math is useful. And I would take the similar approach with technology, meaning that you learn about technology in the context of different tasks you're trying to do, whether it be, you know, drafting a brief, reviewing a contract, automating the creation of the document, or intaking a client. There are all tools that can help with that, but I think it helps best to sort of learn through use cases as opposed to just learning for the sake of just learning.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. I think that a lot of students think about Lexis. Now, Lexis has an AI component and Westlaw. And even I think there's some software for blue booking, but I don't know what their exposure is beyond that to certain technology that would be available to them. I mean, could you identify some specific things that maybe they should be thinking about?
Yeah, well, I think it starts with, you know, the unfortunate piece is oftentimes law schools don't have faculty that are prepared to teach some of these things. So I think that's a challenge. In terms of specific tools that could be looked at, you know, one, for example, that I know is very commonly used and is easy to pick up is Clio, for example, for matter and workflow management and billing and that type of thing. That would be one tool that'd be pretty useful. I think that there are other tools. For example, there's a tool called Gavel that allows you to automate the creation of documents or the creation of workflows. And that could be a really interesting tool for students to use, because there are a variety of use cases for creating an automation or creating a workflow. So that is something that I think is really particularly helpful. In addition, I think, you know, there is sort of a basic tech training tool called Procertus that I think would be very useful for students to learn how to use, because it teaches them how to utilize the basic functionality of tools that are, you know, legal tech tools, but also tools that they already know: Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Adobe Acrobat. And it really puts you through the paces of learning how to do some basic but also important things in each one of those tools, and it tests you on it. So it's actually pretty useful, because I always say that if you're going to be start learning about legal tech, start with tools you already use. Don't jump immediately to other types of tools. Just make better use of tools you already know and use. So that's why I suggest Procertus, and it's
how do you spell Procertus?
Procertas.
Okay, got it. Oh, Procertus. Oh, that makes sense. But you know, and I guess what I'm learning from you is that there should be a class on legal tech in law school. So just like we have drafting legal documents, we should have a legal tech class, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think there definitely should be either a class or frankly, I don't think you necessarily need a class, but just integrate legal technologies into existing classes, because you're already learning the doctrine. Why not just learn how to apply the doctrine to the context of a task with the technology component. Because that goes back to, I think, the importance of learning tech tools by use case as opposed to just kind of learning tech by itself.
So if you had to write a brief or a memo, would you go right to the traditional Lexis and Westlaw, or are there other documents you would go, I mean, other technology you would go to?
There are other tools as well that are very helpful. One is called ClearBrief that can help you sort of write a brief, put it together. There's another generative AI powered tool called CoCounsel from this company called CaseText. That's particularly helpful and can help with brief writing, but also with basic research as well and a variety of other tasks. So there's a lot of different tools that exist out there. And actually, one site I would suggest that folks check out for kind of learning about the different types of tools that exist is called Legal Tech Hub. It's a great resource that offers not just an array of articles and resources on technologies, but also some in-depth analysis as well.
Do we have to worry, like, let's say you use CoCounsel, do we have to worry about them creating fake cases like we've heard about in the news?
The bottom line of generative AI is any generative AI tool could, in theory, generate, false information. So I don't think necessarily suggesting you never worry about it is the right approach. Rather, I think you think about kind of what data has this tool been trained on. So CoCounsel has been trained on legal data. So therefore, it's likely going to be more useful than, say, ChatGPT, which has been trained on the internet, which obviously is not just legal data, it's all sorts of data and other things. So I think really it comes down to understanding that these AI tools are in some ways really useful, but they're also limited in terms of their capacity to understand what it is you're trying to accomplish. And that's in part due to the data they've been trained on, also in part due to how you ask the question of what you want it to do. So my suggestion when approaching these tools is to kind of review its work and double check its work like any competent student or professional would do anyway.
Right. Makes sense. And that's good to know. I mean, I'm learning so much from you. I really have been stuck in the traditional legal tech and then how they are kind of getting next gen in their approach to AI. But it sounds like there's a whole host of other applicable programs, which is really helpful. So if you go into a law firm, do you basically give them ideas on to how to bring themselves up to the current, century in terms of legal tech?
So I've given a couple of talks to some groups of law firm partners. And generally what I start with is understand kind of their level of knowledge with technology. And usually it can vary. Sometimes it can be higher than I expect, but usually it's fairly low. And I start with just introducing them to basic concepts of tools they already use, and then introduce, AI and sort of ways in which it can be used. But I really kind of want to meet people where they are, meaning that understand kind of where they're starting from and not just assume that they have sort of some requisite level of knowledge. Mm-hmm. But I certainly do my best to try to introduce them to tools that could perhaps help them spend less time on things that they don't want to be spending time on, but also using tools that are fairly intuitive and don't require a whole lot of setup, implementation, or have steep learning curves, because time is valuable. And obviously you want people to be making the most of the time that they do have when working.
Well, and not only is time valuable in learning, but really what I'm getting from you is that using these tools gives you more time to work for the client. And so it's not that they're first of all, I guess they're saving billable hours for the client, but they're also giving you the ability to have more clients, arguably, because it's freeing up some of your time.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it kind of, there's a number of different knockoff effects from using the tools with respect to time. Certainly you've mentioned a couple of them, which is A, spending less time on things that perhaps not as valuable, B, being able to be more productive and therefore potentially take on more clients, and C, being able to, spend time that is actually for some lawyers billable, and for others just time that's better spent on higher risk, higher value work rather than on sort of tasks that they have to get done, but otherwise are not super valuable or otherwise really important.
Any other words of advice you want to give to our listeners?
I would say that My one piece of advice would be, if you want to learn about legal tech, start with asking yourself the question why. What it is that you want to be learning, why you want to be learning, and use that to help guide your learning, because there's a lot to learn and it can be easy to get overwhelmed. And so it's best to kind of figure out where to start from rather than just dive full head on into sort of the deep end of the space.
Makes sense. And I want to also suggest your book, The Legal Tech Ecosystem. I think that that's a good place to begin. And we will put in our liner notes how to reach out to you directly. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, and absolutely, please do check out my book, The Legal Tech Ecosystem, available on Amazon.
Great. We'll put a link to it in our liner notes too. Thanks so much,
Perfect.
Bob. Thank
Thanks so
you.
much.
So there you have it. Hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, or a professor or attorney with whom you'd like me to speak, send us an email at legaltensor@westacademic.com and send us any suggestions you may have. We love getting feedback. Have a great day. This podcast was created in collaboration with West Academic. Additional episodes can be found on West Academic Study Aids collection. Students may already have access through their school subscription and can check with their law school library for access. For a limited time, Legal Tensor listeners can save 15% on titles on the West Academic store with the promo code TENSOR15 at checkout.